This week on the eBay for Business podcast.
When we talk about listing quality, there are three core components. Well, it's actually, I guess, say four, but I kind of combine title and item specifics together. Those are probably the most important part of the listing. Obviously, photos, providing as many photos as you can with high quality. And then finally, is your price competitive?
I try to keep everything positive. However, I know that I have to be careful with my marketing. So we're in a sensitive world right now where you have to be careful what you post. You have to be careful how you say things because you can maybe insult someone or you can hurt someone's feelings. Go on my Instagram, Sneaker Social, and you'll tell stories. We laugh, we have a good time, and it's positive and we're social. It's nothing negative. And, you know, I try to keep everything just pretty much simple, fun, positive, and straight to the point.
I'm Brian Burke.
And I'm Griff. And this is the eBay for Business podcast, your weekly source for the information and inspiration you need to start, run, and grow a business on the world's most powerful marketplace. And this is episode 106. Welcome back, Brian. How are you?
I'm great, Griff. How you doing?
Okay. I'm getting ready for vacation.
When was the last time you took a vacation? Probably a long time.
Oh, a year ago. Remember, I went to the UK.
Oh, that's right. You and Rob.
I pre-recorded the episodes for the podcast, which is what I'm doing right now, in fact, as we speak.
You're going to pre-record a couple of them.
Yep, I am. That's because I'm a together kind of organized guy now.
Yep. And my assumption is you're not going to the UK because, well, do they let Americans in right now?
No. No, we're not welcome anywhere. I don't know if you've ever looked at the map.
I haven't, but I'll have to look to see like where we're not allowed to go right now.
I could go to Turkmenistan, but I'm not inclined to do so.
That's probably wise.
I'm actually looking forward to 2 weeks of, hopefully with the weather not so hot, because the garage gets really hot, of going through inventory and listing some stuff. That's what I'm really looking for. I actually am looking forward to doing that. So I'm going on vacation. Why is that news?
Well, because it only happens once a year.
Yeah, for me. I'm always advising people to take time off, and yet I never do it. Kind of weird. Oh, well, anyway. But just because I'm on vacation, it doesn't mean the show stops. In fact, you know, as it says in the song, it must go on.
It must. Well, and for me, I've already had my vacations. They happened in July, so maybe a weekend here or there, I'll do some stuff. But I'm glad you're taking time off. It's important to take time off, especially nowadays. For us working at home, it's good to take a break.
And sellers should too.
They should.
And by the way, I don't want to tease it too much, but there's some great news coming up very soon about vacation settings.
Yes, there is. I think our sellers will be happy. That's all I'll say.
That's as far as we're going to open that kimono. Slam it shut. Tie the obi. No more to see here. Move along.
Yes. So we must. Who's on the show this week, Griff?
Well, this week, Vice President of Seller Experience Harry Temkin will be back on to share his insights for freshening up stale listings for the holiday shopping season, which, believe it or not, has already begun.
It's an unusual year. Buyers have already started their holiday shopping. I suppose they are fearful of both shipping delays and scarcity.
Yeah.
So who's our seller this week?
The next story in our ongoing 25 years of eBay series seller is Tamara Baker, who sells on eBay under the user ID Sneaker Social. That's an unusual spelling. So should be interesting. She sounds like a very energetic woman.
That's great. Well, it's interesting. You've got to have energy to sell on eBay.
Boy, do you ever.
And I hope we have a few questions from sellers.
We have email and I believe a voicemail, and we'll do our best to answer them.
So fantastic. So first up, Harry Temkin.
If you're like me, you have at least a few, if not more, items listed that are, well, just not selling. Maybe there's some interest in them according to your traffic data, or maybe not. But for whatever reason, they just sit there, completely not selling and not doing your business any good at all. According to current data, eBay holiday shoppers are already starting to shop, and that's much earlier than usual. And sellers, I know you and I both want to catch as much of that action as possible. But what to do with these stale listings? I guess we could end them, of course.
No, Griff. We don't want to end stale listings.
No, maybe a few should be ended. But wait, let's not jump ship yet. There may be some basic and simple improvements that can turn those stale old listings into hotcakes. And who better to help us run through a list of stale listing improvements but our very own Vice President of Seller Experience, Harry Temkin. Welcome, Harry.
Thank you, Griff. Great to be here. Hello, sellers. Great intro, Griff. Great intro.
Thanks. I take pride in my scripting. We're into our September theme. It's preparing for the holidays. And part of that preparation, of course, is sprucing up our existing listings, especially those that are stale. We want to get the window all nice and dressed well for these eBay shoppers that are starting to come in. we have to identify what a stale listing is. It's any listing that's been sitting around for a month or longer, like a year or two or four. They aren't hard to identify, but okay, where should I start with my listing makeover? I've opened the revise the item page. Now I want to start from the top. What am I going to do?
Yeah, sure. I mean, when we talk about listing quality, there are three core components. Well, it's actually, I guess, say four, but I kind of combine title and item specifics together. Those are probably the most important part of the listing. Obviously, photos, providing as many photos as you can with high quality. And then finally, is your price competitive? If you're going to start to revise your listings, the first place that I always start would be title. And you want to look at the words that are in your title, obviously, and the organization of the words in the title. In other words, let's say that I'm listing sneakers, which my son and I do a lot. We're very specific in the ordering of the words. We always start with brand like Adidas, then style in terms of Yeezy Boost, you know, V2 350. Then we get into the color, which in Yeezy's case are quite unique, like barium as an example. Then we would get into gender and then size.
I'm going to jot these down while you're talking.
Oh, sure. So there's this very specific order that we like to put the title keywords in. That certainly helps. It makes your listing easier to identify when it comes back in search, first of all, because those keywords are right there in a particular order again, and highlighting the most important things of the listing. And in the case of sneakers, what size are they? I mean, that's probably the most critical thing, right? I need a 12, so sixes aren't going to help me, right? So knowing and seeing the size right in the title, along with that style and the color, is super beneficial.
There's nothing more depressing when I buy a lot of shoes, is that when they don't put the size in the title or the item specific and it shows up and I want them, and then I figure out in the description they're like two sizes too small.
Yeah, but also that takes a lot of time, right, Griff? You don't want your buyers having to do lots of clicks to figure out if that's the right listing for them. So as much as you can put up front that they see right away, it's a better buyer experience. A couple of other things about title. You don't want to use words like amazing, you know, all these descriptors that really don't help the listing. You want to stay very specific. You only have 80 characters to use, by the way, and you want to use them very, very wisely. A lot of times we'll see people do things like NWT, new with tags, or use these codes that, you know, our buyers have become familiar with. I'd argue that's okay to do that. But since you're going to use those descriptors already through the listing, I mean, when a buyer search for new with tags, your listing's going to show up. It's not really showing up because you put NWT in the title. It's more that that's the condition or the grading that you've chosen for the listing. I'd much rather use key item specifics in your title than things like that.
I know that, for example, a new buyer who's come to eBay might not know what NWT is, and it might cause them some concern.
Exactly. I mean, that's the thing. Using these acronyms end up sometimes causing a lot of confusion. New without box and things like that. Just use that in the condition field and your listing will appropriately show up in the filters and for what buyers are looking for. Again, I just recommend more of the key descriptors in your title than elements like that. Whatever you do in your title, it's super critical that you also provide them in item specifics. Many of you probably have heard me say this. You're tired of hearing me say this, but there's a reason that I keep repeating it because it is so critical to helping drive conversion of your listings. Item specifics are key in basically further indexing your listing in search. And in particular, when buyers are using the left-hand navigation filters and other areas of the platform, it's the item specifics that ensure your listing shows up in those filters. So an example, we were talking about size in title for sneakers. If you only provide size in the title, and then a buyer is using the left-hand navigation filter to filter on size, your listing will not show up in that filter if you've not also provided size in the item specific section. So that is the key takeaway. Whatever you put in your title, you also want your item specifics, and then you want to make sure that you're providing as many of the item specifics as possible. To make that super easy, we have made a lot of changes over the last year. The first big change is we now provide you data. For each item specific, you're going to see a search count. So you're going to know how many times buyers searched for that particular item specific over the last 30 days. And we're going to take that data and we're going to rank all the item specifics by the buyer demand data, by the search count. So
yeah,
now
I've seen those. Yes. Yeah.
Right. The most important item specifics to a buyer, the way that they're searching, are now elevated and brought to the very top of that list. If you have a small amount of time, got a lot of listings and you're going through and you got to want to edit these in a small period of time, my recommendation is to focus on those most important item specifics, the ones that have the highest buyer demand data. It really isn't necessary for you to give us all the item specifics. And I think you'd all agree that in some categories, there's a lot of them. If you only have time to give us a few of them, focus on the most important ones, which are at the very top of the listing flow. We also just launched or what we call the soon to be required item specifics.
Yeah, these are new.
Now, these are brand new. And these are item specifics that have had such high buyer demand data. We feel that they should just be required. They're that important to buyers. And it's not often that we make item specifics mandated or required. And you'll notice in the listing flows, usually it's like one or two of them that are required, but they're the critical ones. Just a year ago, we were making you go to a seller update, click through to a website, go to an Excel spreadsheet, look through numerous categories to see what the mandates were going to be. And that was just very reactive. We wanted to make the whole process proactive. In other words, don't worry about a spreadsheet. When you go into a listing, if there's going to be soon to be required, which means they're super important, we're going to put them right at the top of the listing flow. We're going to tell you they're soon to be required. And if you click on them, it'll tell you when they're going to be required. We're going to give you at least 60 days to give them to us. So you have plenty of time before they become required. But not only that, just the fact is, if they're soon to be required, you should just recognize that they're really important item specifics to our buyers, and you just give them to us now. Now, just one other thing that makes this super easy when you're revising your listings. In Seller Hub, in active listings, you're now going to see a new column that is actually for item specifics with a bunch of new filter buttons. And you literally can filter the listings that are missing these soon to be required and filter by listings that are missing the highly recommended aspects. So we're going to make it really easy to narrow down your list to the ones that need attention, need focus on these very important item specifics. And then you can edit them directly from active listings. There's a pop-up now that comes up right from there, and you're just editing on the fly. And then one more improvement. I've got a lot here to, you know, talk about it. Because this, look, item specifics, again, right there at the top of the list with title. These are the most critical things that are just going to get you further indexed in search. And if your listing is stale, one of the key reasons may be you just haven't provided these specifics to get it in front of buyers. Where you have lots of listings that are missing these item specifics, we've now given you the ability to actually download all those listings into an Excel spreadsheet. That Excel spreadsheet is going to highlight by color the item specifics that are recommended that are missing, and those will be in blue. The ones that are required or soon to be required will be in red. So it's calling attention to the most important ones. And then you get the full power of Excel. You can drag and drop. You can cut and paste. So think about, you may have 15 listings that are all missing the same item specific. Like they're all cotton, let's say, as the material that the clothing is made out of. Now you can just literally copy cotton and just paste it into all those fields and then re-upload the spreadsheet and you're done. Super, super easy tools to modify and update your item specifics.
I had no idea that you were going to mention something like brand new features when we scheduled this interview.
I always like to bring surprises for you.
I love a good surprise.
By the way, all those features are rolling out now. And so most of our sellers will see those features already.
Fantastic. This is great news. But what about things like photos? For those sellers who don't consider themselves good photographers, they look at their stale listings and maybe all of the item specifics are correct and they got a good title and everything else is fine. They think their price is in the right place, but they have to admit their photos just aren't that good. What should they do?
Yeah, look, this is an opportunity to take new photos. And we've done a lot of work with images in mobile. And of course, you know, today's cell phones take amazing pictures, super high quality photos. This is your opportunity to take new pictures of your listings. And I recommend using all 12 photos. When I look at the way my son lists his sneakers, he takes pictures, all angles of the sneakers. He takes pictures of the top, the soles, the tongue of the shoe, the insert of the shoe, right? The side, the logos, everything, and very detailed close-ups as well. Because buyers really want to see what they're buying. So the more photos and the more detailed these photos are, you know, the better off or the more likely that a buyer will buy from you because they just feel like they can trust the listing because they get to see almost every aspect of it with these very granular photos. Now, the second thing is we added an image cleanup tool, which we announced at Open last year, had millions of listings go through this image cleanup capability. And it basically adds clean white backgrounds to your photos. So it's a really awesome tool built directly into mobile. You don't have to worry about finding that white background or using a sheet in your house for those occasions where you want that clean background. And why is a clean background important? Well, particularly with Google Shopping. Google Shopping will reject any photo that has watermarks, trademarks in the photo, any promotions on the photo, things like made in the USA, 20% off sale. They just don't allow those. They don't necessarily need a white background, but they need a clean background. And it's one of the reasons we did image cleanup. We also did it because we wanted to have better photos, even just on eBay, right? I mean, that first photo that shows up in the search results, you want that to be an amazing photo. The image cleanup is very helpful there. And then that helps when our buyers are using the image search capability, right? So they can take a picture of an item and it goes and then matches that up and returns a set of results all based on the picture. So having really, really good photos so we can match that up is key. But again, one of the big ones obviously is Google Shopping. And I just also note with Google Shopping that with respect to item specifics, they have a left-hand navigation as well. You want to be sure, particularly with gender and size and brand, you not necessarily need the UPC, like the barcode number. If you have it, that's great. That certainly helps. We can talk a little bit about, you know, if you have the UPC, what that means for an eBay listing, but it certainly helps with Google Shopping. But if you don't have the UPC, that's totally all right. You still describe your item with all the item specifics and very simple, you know, what we've been talking about, but you definitely want to make sure you have brand and style. Those are also key, not just for eBay, but for getting your listing up into Google Shopping. Remember, we make all of our listings, all of our fixed price listings available to Google Shopping free of charge.
I love the idea of editing in line. I know we already have that for things like price and for promoting a listing. Having more options just makes it a lot easier to go down that list and make changes.
Oh yeah. It opens up this really nice pop-up that has all the item specifics right there. You can even, it has a flyout even to see the listing in more detail. Again, not having to leave active listings and do all of your management there is really, we just continuously adding more and more features to active listings. So it makes it much more efficient to manage and to make changes to your listings.
Harry, we're just about out of time. Is there anything else you'd like to add for our sellers when they're thinking about getting their listings all spruced up and fresh and ready for the holiday season?
Yeah, just quick. I mean, we talked about title, item specifics, and photos. So it's important to talk about price. Having a competitive price is really, really important. And we've made a lot of enhancements to Terapeak. One of the biggest enhancements that just went out is the addition of item-specific filtering. All that work that we did for you to provide item specifics, we're now taking advantage of that in Terapeak as well, because Terapeak could only search on title keywords. Now it has the ability to search on title and item specifics, which means that the search results coming back are 30% larger than they were before. So you're getting a lot more results. And then having these new filters means that you can be very specific in the results. So if I only want to look at a size 11 and a half in those Yeezy Variums, because remember, the prices are very different across different sizes, you now can do that and get a much, much more accurate price in Terapeak. So that's key. Now, once you have that competitive price, remember, Terapeak tells you about how many other sellers are using free shipping. And that will help you determine if you need to offer free shipping, which is a competitive edge, remember, when you build it all into your price. And the fact that Terapeak is also showing the active listings as well now, not just historical. And when it shows the active listings, it is also showing you the percentage of sellers that are using promotions or promoted listings. So again, that gives you an idea of, you know, the edge that you can have. Let's say only 10% of sellers are promoting. Well, if only 10% of sellers are promoting, you may want to promote, right? Because that's going to get you more elevation in search and bring your listing up. There's a lot of these levers that you can employ. Promoted listings is obviously a key one, and it's a primary one. But I just want to remind everybody that if you have a multi-quantity listing, you should be engaging volume pricing. Multi-quantity and providing that discount when you buy more than one drives conversion tremendously. And don't forget, all that traffic that you're getting, you want to take advantage of it by utilizing seller-initiated offers. When you have watchers, you can provide and send them a personalized discount. And remember, if you can or you're willing to negotiate on price, you should also turn on best offer, because, you know, listings that use best offer in general convert 6 to 7% better than ones that don't, just because it opens up that negotiation capability, that human-to-human communication. But again, all of these tools that we built are all about helping you to drive conversion. Start with making sure the quality of the listing is good as it is, as it can be. And then from there, you can utilize all of these other tools that can help drive the conversion.
It's never too early to start getting your listings ready, especially this year, because the data, as we said earlier, shows that people are, they're already shopping for the holidays. So time is of the essence, and you got to start making these improvements now. Else, at the end of the season, you'll still have a bunch of stale listings, and neither Harry or I or you want that.
No, we don't want that.
Harry, it's always a pleasure when you stop by, and I know you're really busy, so I'll let you go. I know you have some stuff to take care of.
It's always fun to be with you, Griff, and to spend time with our sellers, obviously, and to give you guys great advice. And you'll see over the next 2 quarters, there's a lot of cool stuff coming.
Thanks again, Harry, and we'll check in with you in a few months.
Sounds great. Thanks, Griff.
Harry Temkin is the Vice President of Seller Experience at eBay. He's a frequent contributor to our podcast, and more important, he's also a full-time seller on eBay as well. Each week for the next few months, we are showcasing a seller whose story was one of the 25 selected for the 25 Years of eBay series. This week, we have Tamara Baker with us. Tamara sells under the eBay ID Sneaker Social, and I'm going to get her to spell that because there's a clever little twist in there. But before we do that, Tamara, I want to read a part of your submission. You wrote to eBay, "There's nothing that I can't do when it comes to selling my products online. I put myself through college. I earned a master's degree in business administration because of my online business. I've also started to work on a PhD so that I can tap into higher education. So I'd say I've grown and I've changed for the better because of my business."
Wow. Thinking about when I wrote that.
What was going through your mind at the time?
I was in bed and I was like, wow, here's an opportunity for me to tell my story. I just kept writing and writing and just going through a lot at the time, working on finishing up my master's, hopped right into my PhD, and I was still selling sneakers. Sneaker store was booming. And I'm like, wow, I need to let eBay know what they've created in me, which is like a minor superstar.
Well, I'd say you're a powerhouse because it's hard enough to run a business on eBay, but run a business and then study for a master's? How did you do that?
Wow, it took a lot of hard work. One, I started selling online 7 years ago when I was just working on a bachelor's degree. So I instilled like certain characteristics in myself to keep me focused on the MBA. But with the sneakers, I had a strict schedule. I would literally have an eBay day, study day, eBay day, study day. And my professors can sign off on that. I would tell them, I probably can't check emails until Thursday because Wednesday is eBay day. And so follow this schedule. I had a really strict schedule and I'm back on it as we speak. It has to be done. It's one of my goals. I have to do them together. I don't know. It's like, I feel like I can't be a top rated seller and not a student. Even when I finish my PhD, I feel like I'm going to have to start something else student wise.
Okay, I have to say it right here. I can't thank you enough for taking the time out of this schedule to talk to us. I know it's only about 30 minutes, but I am absolutely in awe of anyone who can maintain that level of discipline. I can't do it, so I'm amazed you can.
It took time. It took time. I tell anybody, it took a lot of time.
So before school, before higher education, and before the business, what were you doing and what were your dreams?
I was a student at Georgia Southern University majoring in recreational therapy. And my mom's an RN, so it was kind of her dream for us to both work at the same hospital someday. Mm. And in a nutshell, I kind of shattered her dream when I went into business. But I was just a regular everyday college student. I was always a sneakerhead. So every day in class, you know, you'd probably see me with the latest Jordan or the latest sneaker. That gave me something to look forward to as I worked on my recreational degree. Eventually, I decided, hey, what am I going to be doing for the rest of my life? Do I really want to be a recreational therapist? You know, I'm really not really too fond of the medical field and working around sick people all day. It was kind of making me depressed, believe it or not, just studying about different ailments and diseases. It was like, oh gosh. Yeah. And I just looked down at my feet one day and I'm like, I'm going to start selling sneakers. And I never thought I could have a business. with sneakers. I mean, it's definitely a dream come true. So that's how it started.
But even before that, before you started selling them, you were a buyer and collector and owner of
yes.
high-end sneakers.
Yes.
So you had a passion for this.
Yes. I feel like I had a passion when I was about 7 years old. I mean, I had more shoes than any child probably needed at seven. My mom, she'll tell anybody, she had shoes in everyone's bedroom. And it started then. I just mixed it together when I started learning about business to make a real life business operation out of it. The passion's been there for over 20 years.
When you decided to make that step into actually selling and running a business, did you do so on another platform or in a brick and mortar store or from a shop or from trade shows, or did you go right online?
I went straight to eBay. I've been rocking with eBay since, what, you guys are going to be 25? Yes. I guess I've been rocking with eBay since 2003, 2004. My brother, he was an eBay fanatic before I even knew what eBay was. He actually put me into the eBay era. I took it from there. So once I started reselling my personal collection, I just went straight to eBay. I've never sold on any other platform. I mean, now today, you know, you have Goat app and StockX. So I dibble and dabble with those. But most of my inventory, I'm going to push on eBay.
Yeah. It's where a lot of people go to look for when they're looking for high-end and collectible sneakers. You have correct me if I'm wrong, I think I remember it's a master's in business administration.
Correct.
So were you planning on using that outside of running a business, or now has that just sandwiched and sort of shoehorned, I mean, right into running a business?
Yes, both. I wanted to really and truly, don't tell anyone, whoever's listening.
It's a secret podcast.
I wanted to eventually become the CEO of eBay. When I first started working on my bachelor's in business, I had in my mind, I was going to go be a CEO somewhere.
Yeah.
And so when I started looking into MBAs, I'm like, everybody who is a CEO has an MBA.
Yeah.
And then when I started my own business, people kept asking me, how do you do it? How do you sell? How do you run a business? So I'm like, well, you do this, you do that. And I'm like, oh, wow, I can go be a professor and teach college kids how to have their own hustles and their own part-time creations. And that's more money. So I was like, well, don't want to be the CEO anymore. I can be a CEO in a classroom.
Yeah.
And so that's also what kept me going, is that like one day I know I'm going to be a professor and I'm going to teach kids that are just like me, switch from one major to the next major, find their passions and become superstars and whatever they want to be. And I feel like no greater person to do it other than me. And that's why I started on the MBA and now I'm working on a PhD.
You know, I don't
to teach.
I know that your aspirations have changed from being a CEO of eBay to being a professor, but I have to tell you, Tamara, I think you'd be an excellent CEO of a company like eBay.
Maybe, you know, one day. I don't write anything off these days. I mean, the way that my life's been going, who knows? I mean, I guess hard work definitely pays off. If that happens, hey, you're gonna be the top guy.
Well, I don't know if I'm a little old for being top guy, but I would definitely love to work for somebody as inspiring and as inspirational as you are. So you're going to be a professor. I think this is a great choice for you. I think your personality, just from what I've known from talking to you, is probably excellent for being a professor. But in the meantime, you're still running a business on eBay. How long do you think that business will keep on going?
Well, I mean, I hope it keeps going. I tell people I'm at the bottom of the sneaker stores on eBay. I've got to get to the top first, and then we can talk about how long I'll have at the top. You know, right now, I'm in a competitive spirit. I'm competing. I want more customers. I market like crazy. I hit the streets. I'm old school. I hand out flyers, business cards. I have billboards. So I'm thinking maybe another 20 years, you will interview me.
If I'm still here, I will definitely interview you. In the meantime, when we talk about the sneaker world, the pandemic has really changed a lot of how that was run. How is your business running and how have you adapted to this new reality?
Well, it's very unfortunate. This is my first time in business I've ever endured a pandemic or a crisis as such. However, it has increased my sales and my business because everybody is social distancing. They're at home, they're bored, especially in the beginning. when we first all had to stay in and most cities had curfews, I seen an increase in sales. And, you know, I have to blame it on the pandemic. People were at home. They were shopping online. And, you know, as long as I was able to ship, you know, I waited and I watched the news to keep up with USPS to see if I could actually ship. USPS and FedEx, they said they were still shipping. They were still in business. And so I just continued to ship. You know, I told my buyers, there might be a delay, you know, and if you agree, I'll ship them. It's been actually a true success. I mean, I hate to say it that way because so many people have been affected, even me. My mom actually was affected by COVID 3 weeks ago. She's still somewhat recovering. However, business is business. It's just my store has been being hammered with sales. And I think it's my marketing. People are on social media more. People are at home more. People can't really go out. And I ask people, you know, where are you guys going to wear these shoes? You know, and they're like, well, one day the pandemic is going to be over and my collection is going to be humongous. I'm like, well, that's a good way to look at it. Yes. In that case, then keep buying.
What about when it comes to supply, though? Have your supply chains been disrupted? And if so, how have you adapted to that end of it?
It hasn't really been disrupted. It's been delayed. I buy on consignment. If I have to pick up shoes from Charlotte, I have to put my mask on and you have to be cautious. I have to ask the questions, you know, anyone in your household been sick? And so that aspect has kind of slowed down too. People are a little bit hesitant to meet up to sell their sneakers. And then on the other end, when I buy online or I send people invoices or they send me invoices, it's been delayed because USPS or FedEx or UPS have been delayed. So usually I would get shoes on consignment from online purchases within 3 to 4 days. Now it's 7 to 12, 7 to 18 days. That aspect has definitely slowed down tremendously, but I still keep going. Hopefully that it'll speed up.
Hopefully that we'll get through a holiday season and sellers on eBay can continue to have that success. I know that right now we're looking at severe delays with USPS. And of course, FedEx and UPS can be much more expensive when it comes to packages. So there's that balance you have to do.
Yes.
Just to take a side trip here for a minute, you mentioned that your mother is an RN.
Yes, she's an RN.
I would love to meet her someday. I mean, she must have had a lot to do with the fact that you are so successful. Don't you think? I mean, our parents have a big impact on our lives.
Yes. I get a lot of her work ethic. But when it came down to, and, you know, eBay's also featuring me in a story, I had to speak on it. When I told my mom that I was not going to be majoring in recreational therapy and I was not going to be working in a hospital with her and I was going to sell shoes.
Oh, dear.
She wasn't the best. She wasn't at her best moment.
Yeah.
She didn't take it well. She started to take it seriously when I began because I had to start a new bachelor's. I tell everyone I went from being in the medical field to science field, switching to business. So I had no credit in business. So I had to start from the top. And she told me, she said, if you earn a bachelor's in business and you continuously run a business, you'll have my blessing. Oh. And when I graduated with my bachelor's, she gave me her blessing. And then when I went to get my master's, she was just like overwhelmed with joy. The pictures that I just took, I guess, about back in July with my cap and gown, she got sick with COVID the next day. So she's now finally like able to look through them and go through them and see which one she wants to blow up and mail to our relatives. So she's definitely just blown away at this point with my success in sneakers. She didn't know that I could go so many different routes. You know, she was looking at it from just one perspective. Now she sees that, wow, my daughter is probably going to be really big with this sneaker business. And she's on board now. She's an RN and has been for, I'm not going to tell my age. She's been an RN since my brother's age. So I'll tell his age, 34 years.
That's a long time. And she's one of our, she's a frontline worker, absolutely essential. And I'm very glad to hear that she's on the mend. I'm very concerned that she was infected. But if she's on the mend, that's really great news.
Yeah. She's fully recovered. She's fully recovered and she goes back to work. I think on Friday, she told me she's going back on Friday.
She's probably seen things that have not been the happiest days of her life?
No, she literally told me like 3 days ago that in her years of many years of nursing, never have she seen so many patients so sick or a pandemic as such.
Yeah.
So it's actually kind of made her a little sad, to be honest, because she feels like she can't save everybody. And, you know, the way that, you know, the health world is turning, she knows she's got to soon head for retirement. She's been dwelling on that lately. So she's going to be okay. Good. She's going to be okay.
That's good to hear. What does the future hold for you, Tamara? Are you going to move into the teaching field soon, or do you have more education that you want to pursue?
Well, once I complete my PhD, which I probably won't complete it for another about two years, I would like to have two brick and mortar stores, one in Georgia and one in South Carolina, where I'm currently located. Once I get those running, get managers running and everything, I would like to tap into the community college or a technical college to teach night classes. Entrepreneurship would be great, or business, any beginning business classes, because that was the hardest for me, to make sure the students actually want to be there in class learning about business for the first time. I want to teach in that aspect. And I'm going to stick to community college or technical colleges. I don't really want to get into the 4-year, because I didn't take off into a 4-year until after I got my associate. That way you can get a warm feel, small classes, and the pay is better, believe it or not.
Is it?
And so, yes, at the 4-year level, I'd have to probably apply for so many grants. That's how I would get paid.
Yeah.
So at the community college level, I think I would be more like salary. And I think I want to stick to the basics. I don't really want to play the big politics in the higher education.
Yeah.
And so I'll stay at the lower level, community college, technical college.
So you have some more studying to do, some more education to pursue.
Yes.
And at the same time, running the business and exchanging the days, eBay day, study day, eBay day, study day.
Yeah.
How are you planning for the holiday season this year? Part of our theme when this interview comes out is preparing for holidays. Is there anything special that you do every year? And this year, if you do usually do something special, how is it going to be different because of the pandemic, if at all?
That's a good question. My team and I, we've been working on strategies for the holiday season. I know a lot of people are saying that Black Friday is going to kind of locally is going to kind of be smaller. A lot of companies aren't going to be participating. We're expecting Cyber Monday, especially on Thanksgiving, to be insane. So what we've already started doing is holding some of our very cool grand pairs. We've been holding them. Like, in sneaker world, we call that putting it on ice.
Sure, yeah.
So we've been putting shoes on ice. Hopefully my location in Orangeburg, South Carolina, it'll be up and booming. So we've already started on times. We're going to be open on Black Friday and on the day after Christmas and on New Year's. And so we're hoping that we can engage the community and let people know that, you know, sneaker stores, we're here to kind of save the day with all of the politics and all of the chaotic and, you know, things of that nature. So I'm getting my team together as we speak. So everything's not really written in stone for what we're going to do. But I'm actually expecting a pretty good season, believe it or not. So we just got to stay tentative to the news and all the alerts and the updates. And I can go from there. But so far, I have something planned.
That's good to hear.
Online, eBay, and store-wise, brick and mortar.
Sounds like you're going to be busy. Is this a single person operation? You said your team.
I'm the sole owner, the CEO. I don't really like those names and all that. And I have two other people, and I'm hoping to hire two more people before the holiday season, as we spoke about.
Yeah.
So right now it's me, two other people, so that makes three. I call us a team family because that's what we are.
Yeah, when it's that small, it's easy to call it a family, isn't it?
Yes.
Because you see each other every other day, not every day.
Yes. Right.
Yeah. Tamara, yes. You've been very successful in your life. You seem to have the positive can-do attitude that makes such a big difference. There's a lot of sellers, even with the success of online selling in the last few months because of the pandemic, a silver lining on an otherwise very dark cloud. What would be your word of advice to any seller who's getting started today and is a little hesitant, a little fearful, a little apprehensive about jumping into starting a business during this time? What would you tell them?
I'll tell them, make sure it's your passion. Don't do it because of the money, because trust me, you can have a lot of money and be unhappy, but make sure it's something that you're passionate about. Because when the money starts off and it's not a lot, you have to have something to keep you going. Be passionate. Educate yourself on your product, your consumers, on the platform that you're selling, and take your time. Make sure you deliver great customer service. Even on bad days, deliver great customer service. Always keep growing. Never stop learning. Pick up a book. There are so many books out there. Even on, you can have, the online books, the ebook.
Yeah.
Read them in your spare time. Constantly learn and grow into the business world. It's so much changing. Keep up with everything business-wise, the stock, the bonds, keep up with your accounting, keep up with the latest new businesses, and don't be afraid to compete. Competition makes us better. I know a lot of people get in business and they're afraid, like, oh, this company's better. So what? Compete.
Yeah.
Compete. Have a good time and learn from them. Learn from their mistakes and learn from what they do good.
Yes.
And you'll be great.
Such wise words. The idea of competition is something that's fun and you should jump into it as opposed to being afraid.
Yeah, don't be afraid.
Your user ID, which we alluded to in the beginning of the interview, is a little bit of a clever twist on the word sneaker social.
Yeah.
And it's spelled S-N-E-A-K-E-R. And then the next part of it is S-O-L-E-C-I-A-L. So it's soul shul. And that makes sense because of the soul part. But do you utilize social media at all for your business?
I do. I get on it and I've been marketing. Then I take a break from it because you can't let so much social media consume you. You have to get out there and meet people. And I tell people when it comes down to followers and stuff, quality over quantity is better. I see guys and girls, they have way more followers than me. Do you know them personally? I think out of the followers I have, I think a good 70% of them, they're either customers or I know them personally.
Yeah.
And so that way you can protect your empire. You don't want just a bunch of followers and they say what they want to say to you or they do negative things, say negative things. I try to keep everything positive.
Yeah.
So I am a marketing person. However, I know that I have to be careful with my marketing. We're in a sensitive world right now where you have to be careful what you post. You have to be careful how you say things because you can maybe insult someone or you can hurt someone's feelings. What I do now is I have positive posts. I make some men with sneakers and you can go on my Instagram, Sneaker Social, and you'll tell stories. We laugh, we have a good time, and it's positive and we're social. It's nothing negative. It's all great, great things. I have great followers and, you know, I try to keep everything just pretty much simple, fun, positive, and straight to the point.
I love this about you. You're my new hero.
Yeah.
Tamara, I want to thank you so much for taking time to talk to us and tell us about your business and what you've been doing. You're a true inspiration, and I wish you much more success. We'd love to check in with you after the holiday season and see how well you're doing.
Please do.
So again, we'll put these links in our episode transcript as we do every week. And we'll have Tamara's eBay ID and a link to her store. Again, it's Sneaker Soul Shul. And we'll also put your Instagram link up there as well.
Awesome.
Tamara Baker sells under the user ID Sneaker Soul Shul. And again, I'm going to spell that S-N-E-A-K-E-R-S-O-L-E-C-I-A-L. You have questions? We've got answers. Welcome back, Brian. We have a few questions this week.
Well, not quite questions, more like comments. But hey, we'll take what we can get.
Well, great. It's great to be back. And what's our first question?
Comment.
Or well, I did air quotes, but I think no one listening can see my air quotes.
Yeah, Brian, that doesn't work on a podcast. There's no visuals here. You remember a few episodes back, we had a question about how to use multivariations to list supplements with different sizes and expiration dates?
I think so.
Well, I have the email the seller sent us right here. Do you want to read it just to freshen our memories?
Yes, and it'll freshen my memory. Oh, I do remember this now as I read Audrey's name. Hello, Griff. Love the podcast. I miss Audrey being on there.
Yeah, I put it. Stop. I only did this so that I could get a dig in you. So that's...
Well, it's great for Audrey. It'll give her an ego boost. I'm going to make sure she listens this week.
Hey, someday they'll say, I miss Brian being on there.
Well, I hope so, but not as much as they miss Audrey.
All right. Well, I'm sorry. Go on. Yeah. So what did he write? Remind us.
No, I'm going to say Audrey's name again. I miss Audrey being on there. You two had the best chemistry. Just watch a video of you and Griff. I imagined you as a younger guy with brown hair. You have this youthful voice. You still look very debonair.
The second reason I wanted to read this again.
I think it had nothing to do with Audrey. It was all about you wanting to hear it. No time for foolishness. I do have a question. Using the variations, I always have trouble trying to use this. I sell supplements. How do you add two of the same item but different sizes? Then also add different expiration dates.
I think we talked about it a lot on that episode and decided that it's just way too complicated. You're probably better off having different listings for each of the expiration dates and then getting some backup from an actual seller that our advice probably was good is always good. So take a listen to this for a minute.
Hi, this is Mike from Minneapolis, store name Rock Accessories, not too far from the smoldering ruins of the summer. Question that you had put on pause by a customer, and that was about adding variations of quantity and expiration date. I believe it was a supplement. Well, it seems to me that the variation for quantities, of course, could be in the listings, but it seems like it would have to be a separate listing to have a different date, because that is going to expire anyway, so you're not going to infinitely renew that. So wouldn't you want that date to just go away when you sell out the quantities or whatever and then move on and just relist it the next batch? So I guess what I would say is separate listing for expiration date, but the variation for quantity, of course, would be in the listings. That's just my two cents on that. And also, I know some weeks you wonder why you don't have any more questions. That customer service for sellers is fantastic for eBay. A lot of times we can get the answers. I like having the questions on the podcast, but I've had a very easy time in the 15 years I've been on eBay to get my questions answered. And so I'd like to thank you for that and for the podcast. Have a great day.
Okay, Brian, that's it.
Cool. Great.
I like the fact that he points out, well, first, he agrees with us that it's just not going to be possible to do with a single listing. But I love that second part. You know how I'm always moaning we don't get enough questions?
Yes, but he's probably accurate. We make it convenient for sellers on the webpage. There's a help right at the very top. And I've heard great things about chat and getting support via chat. And then when we had more robust phone service, that was always good. But chat and the callback service that are offered now while we're in kind of our COVID-19 support system has been, I've heard really good things about. So it's nice to hear it from a customer as well.
Yeah, and I'm appreciative and always in awe of our customer support folks. But hey, customer support, could you answer fewer questions and throw one our way occasionally?
Should we email Wendy Jones and ask her team to stop answering questions? And
I don't think that'll go over too well. But
I don't think so either.
We also had a comment left on the voice line about our thermal printer recommendation. This is someone who sent in a favorite tip for our contest a few weeks back for episode 100. And this came in after the first 10, so it didn't qualify for the prize. But some of these were really good tips, and I'm going to select out the best, and over the next few weeks, we'll include them in here. So let's give a listen to this one.
Hi, this is Vic from East Coast Vaults. My favorite tip is when Griff recommended the thermal printer made by Brothers, I think it is, and he said it would change your business life. It 100% has changed my business life. Before that, I was using a jet printer and was very, very expensive. Great idea on the thermal printer. It saved me lots of money and lots of time. I appreciate it. Love your show. Again, it's Vic from East Coast Vaults. Thank you. Have a great day.
So there it is. Thanks, Vic.
Thanks, Vic. I'm glad to hear the thermal printer tip is working out for you. When did you make that recommendation, Griff?
Yeah, I think it was several episodes ago, but I'll make it again in case you didn't hear that episode. And it's very simple. If you sell with any regularity on eBay, you must get a thermal printer now. And that was not a question. That was an order. It's a command. You get it now. Jawohl?
Jawohl. I must admit, I don't have one.
And, yeah.
I should get one.
You're a very naughty boy.
And the reason I say that is, and I'll give a flashback to when I was doing account management. I'll never forget, it was probably back in like 2010. There was a large seller on the East Coast, and I went into his warehouse, and he had all of these packages stacked and ready to go. And I said, well, why aren't you printing? He goes, I wait till the very last moment to print. And he had a thermal printer where once he hit print, It just spit out the labels, and then they labeled everything up at like 4:30 when the UPS guy came. And I was just like blown away. And I think whether you're doing hundreds of packages like he was, or even if you're doing five, over the course of a year, the amount of time and money you'll save with a thermal printer is tremendous.
Yeah, and I should mention here that neither Brian or myself receive a kickback when you buy a thermal printer. So this is straight from the heart. Because if you're using a regular printer and you're taping paper labels onto your packages, you're wasting both money and time. And it looks really, I gotta say, it looks like you're a first-time seller. You've been selling for 10 years and you're still taping your labels to your packages? Jeez. Get a thermal printer right now and save time and money, and your parcels will always look professional. There's two big ones. There's Brother and there's Zebra, which I really like. There's a few other new players on the market, but I don't care which one you buy. Just get one that works and use it.
I think what customers will find, or what our sellers will find, is it will free up time over the course of a year.
You'll wonder how you lived without it. You won't. You'll say, how did I live without this thermal printer? I have three at home. I have one that I use downstairs. Rob has one he uses upstairs, and I always keep a spare around in case one of them breaks.
Well, you know what? I think I'm going to buy one today, and then in a future episode, I'll tell you how it works for me.
That's a deal. Well, that'll be something to look forward to, and I'm just going to not comment on the fact I'm shocked you don't have one, but that we'll just let that go.
And the other thing I would say is I'm always paranoid about using tape to cover over the barcode.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, we've been told about that if I had a thermal printer.
Yeah, I think the thermal labels, which are self-adhesive, you just peel off the back, actually are a lot safer on a package than a tape label. And again, I'm going to keep saying it. It looks much more professional. Well, anyway, Brian, those are the seller questions for this week.
If you have a question you want us to answer, call us on 888-723-4630.
Yeah, that's a great number to jot down. So do it now. 888-723-4630. And of course, you can call that hotline any time of the day or any day of the week because it's always on. Just leave your question or comment on the voice line and we just might put it on the air.
If you're not a call on the phone person, you can always email us at podcast@ebay.com. That's podcast@ebay.com.
Don't forget your daily podcast to-do list.
Check the announcement board for up-to-date seller news.
Go out and buy a thermal printer.
I don't think that was your next one. So maybe go visit the eBay community pages.
And then go buy a thermal printer.
Check out the transcript for this and all episodes for follow-up on what you've heard and to see the links we referenced during the episode.
On our next episode, episode 107, we'll talk with Karath Kamdar from eBay's authentication team. Kamdar will outline the brand new luxury watch authentication service that was just announced. And we'll meet eBay seller Jeanette Gettings. Jeanette's story was one of the 25 selected for the 25 Years of eBay series.
We'd like to again thank our guests this week, eBay Vice President of Seller Experience, Harry Temkin, and eBay seller, Tamara Baker.
The eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411.